So you've got a friend, and you found out that they were involved in a cult, and you said, how could that happen? How could anybody be talked into something like Scientology or the Moonies or the Bob Hale people or any of these kind of things? Well, today we have an incredible true story about a guy, a smart guy, a lawyer, an established professional living in New York City and got involved in a secret society named SCHOOL, a cult of snared Manhattan professionals led by a charismatic, sociopathic, and dangerous leader for decades. His name is Spencer Schneider. His book is Manhattan Cult Story, My Unbelievable True Story of Sex, Crimes, Chaos, and Survival. Thanks so much for talking to me today. I finished your book over the weekend. I know that you are Jewish in heritage. Were you raised with any kind of religious training yourself?
Not really, just a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. You know, I had a bar mitzvah, I went to Hebrew school, but I grew up in a, you know, in an area that it was Jewish and it was Christian, so some of my best friends were Christian. I went to a nursery school that was in church, actually.
Oh, I found that interesting because I have read books about people who got involved in Scientology, for example, and a lot of times I've noticed, I was kind of seeing a pattern, and I saw that in your book, too, that these were very smart people, yourself included,
right,
who are looking
right
for meaning. And
right,
they were told that here's an opportunity to learn secret ancient truths. That's how you got interested in what became referred to as school, right?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I would say that they avoided preying on people who had strong religious beliefs, maybe backgrounds.
Yeah.
But if you were unattached, you were a much better target for the group. And I certainly was at that point.
Right, right. That was one of the things that after you were involved, and I know I'm skipping around a little here, but after you were involved for about a year, they talked to you about going out and recruiting members, and they gave you a list of things to avoid, and I was noticing that was one of the things. You know, need to be people
yep.
that were unattached, that were not actively involved in Christianity. They were primarily looking for smart people, primarily white people, right, and straight people, and so they had certain parameters, and they said those are the people that we think that they'll be the most interested in the school.
Yes, exactly. But they were offering something that religion does offer to people, which is, you know, meaning and community,
right,
and friendship, and you know, a teaching, knowledge, and these are all valid things that is very fulfilling in life,
right,
you know, and people need. And so this was just, they really did prey on people who didn't have that and wanted it. And look, I wasn't looking for it, but if you got the wrong people who are trying to steer you down this, it's very ugly. But there are ways to see it. You know, luckily there are signposts, and that's why I wrote the book, because I want to save people from these illegitimate groups that are very dangerous.
Yes.
And they affect a lot of people.
So what are the things that you want to warn people to watch for?
You got to be careful on this, okay?
Right.
Because let's take a legitimate religious organization is going to have a leader.
Right. Right.
You can't have one without a leader.
Right.
And they're often charismatic and charming and sweet, but are they exploiting people? Do they want people's money? Are they into the power trip? That's a problem.
Yeah.
Then so a charismatic leader who exploits members, a leader who doesn't tolerate dissent, disagreeing.
Right.
That's one thing to say, if you can't tolerate dissent, strict rules, okay, but how about getting punished? People who leave the group ostracized, that's a problem. And secrecy. My group was very secret. We weren't allowed to tell anybody we were in it. And just, you know, if you're exploited and coerced.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned in the book is it's like that movie Fight Club. Nobody talks about Fight Club. Nobody talked about school. You weren't really supposed to ever broach. You would never, never, never tell anybody in your family, oh, yeah, I'm going one night a week for 5 or so hours to go to this secret school. The secrecy was really an integral part of this whole situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's a big red flag. And the first time I told somebody about it, which was right towards the end when I was getting out, they were like, this does not sound good to me. Yeah. And it didn't even occur to me, really, that that was a negative. I thought it was a positive. It was like something private for me. And, you know, the group still exists to this day.
Oh.
And no one has talked. Oh, yeah. It's going on right now. Even though the leader died, there's new people, and they make a lot of money from doing this, and there's a lot of people in it. And, you know, I'm the first person to write a book about it.
Wow. For example, some of the things that they did, they strictly tried to control who you dated. Like, you weren't supposed to get into a relationship with people that were in school.
Right.
Am I reading that right?
That's right.
But the
unless you get the green light from them.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. As long as they controlled the parameters, that was one thing. But if you just struck out on your own, or if you got together with some, you were never supposed to get together outside of school to talk about school, even among other people who were involved with you in school. That's another red flag flying too.
Oh yeah, it was. But it was presented in a way that seemed very rational. It was like, well, this is a special place, and won't it be kind of nicer for you to just have people who are only here? I mean, that sounded legitimate to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in hindsight, obviously not.
You were in the group for 23 years, and the story of how you got out, and I realize our time is limited, but can you tell us quickly what helped you get out?
What helped me get out was, you know, first of all, I was in a desperate situation. I was at rock bottom,
right.
Kind of like, you know, like an alcoholic at the very bottom, and that sometimes you have to get to the bottom. But I found help through my brother, and he introduced me to a psychiatrist who was very, very helpful, and you know, I reconnected with older friends who I'd been isolated from.
Mm-hmm.
And look, there's a lot out there. I mean, you know, there's mental professionals, there's your church, there's religion, there's all kinds of things out there that are free that people can go to, and there's resources, and I list resources, and there's things online. But the main thing is to find someone who's in good faith outside of the circle. That's what can help you.
Spencer, it's an incredible story. I mean, when I first got the information, I thought, is this just a novel or something? And then when I got the PDF of your book and started reading, I realized, oh my goodness, this is really, really scary, creepy stuff. So thank you for sharing this and putting a cautionary tale out there to say, if you get invited to something that seems like it's too good to be true, trust that instinct, right?
Exactly. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to talk to you.
And me too. Thank you. Spencer Schneider, our guest today, is
Manhattan Cult Story, My Unbelievable True Story of Sex, Crimes, Chaos, and Survival by Spencer Schneider from Arcade Books, distributed by Simon & Schuster.
That was great.
Take care, Dave.
For WTBF, I'm Doc Kirby.